Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 32 of Juvo Hub, being produced in podcast format and in video cast on YouTube. We are so grateful to have you with us today. And we're adding some new segments to our show to provide another level of awesomeness and education. Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts, how are you, my friend? What's new and exciting?
I'm great, buddy. Life is new and exciting every day, right?
That's right. So it's good to have you with us. Can't wait to get into our guest for today. But just before we do that, our new segments to the show are just a couple of tips that Mark and I will share. Just something quick and easy and will resonate with you. So Mark, do you want to start us off? What is your tip of the week, man?
Sure. I always say to people when I find that they are fatigued in any business, that every day you wake up, you have the ability to find passion, find your passion in whatever it is. If it's not your work, then why are you working? Are you working to pay bills, to save money for a trip, a child, a new car? There's something in that, right? There's passion in the reasons why you go to work. And if you can't find that passion in your work, then let it be in the things that your work provides or helps you provide for your life. But find passion, find the reason why you should be excited about waking up in the morning and love that. That's beautiful. My tip.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us. And since I'm the marketing guy, I feel compelled to share some, piece of information that will help you out from a marketing perspective. And it came to me today just because I was going on some different websites preparing for some other content that we're working on. And it reminded me of the challenges that people have with user experience. So that's my tip. Don't release content without another set of fresh eyes on it. Because you can get so jaded by your content, like you've looked at it so much, you changed it so much, you may not see what needs to be edited and what's the flow. Is it going to work for someone? So always have a quality assurance representative available if you can. Have a friend look at it, but that's my tip of the day. Before you release content, have a fresh set of eyes on that content so that you can have the most beautiful content for the world. So thank you, Mark, for your tip. That's my tip for the day. Here's some couple things from my top listens for this week, everyone. So I listened to Bertie Kelly's interview with Iron from the Front Lines, a must listen, wonderful story of where she started out in the industry and where she's come to where she's at today. She's going to be a guest on this show in the future, so we look forward to having her there. But we'll have a note in the show, link in the show notes for her interview with Iram. Very compelling and very, very inspiring. So check that out. And from my friend Mike Brewer from Multifamily Collective, he is the COO of Radco Residential. He just published an episode on YouTube, Be Humble. So we will have a link to that. That was my two top listens for this week. Always be a student. So check those out. So now, without further ado, we will get into the highlight of our show, which is having the most wonderful, fantastic guest, Valerie Sargent. Valerie, episode 32. Welcome to Juvo Hub. How are you?
Hey, thank you. I'm doing great, Jonathan. How are you guys?
So good. So good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to see you. It's been a long time, Mark.
It has been too long, too long.
Too long. Good to see you, Jonathan. I know we saw each other online recently. We were chatting via video, so it's good to be here with both of you.
Yes, thank you so much. And we know, as we were talking about before we started recording, we will see each other in person at some point in the near future. We're very grateful that things are starting to open up again. And for us as industry speakers, we love being in front of people. And speaking of industry speakers, I have to share a portion of your bio, my friend. So Valerie Sargent is the president of Yvette Poole & Associates. She is a skilled speaker, trainer, consultant, and EQ executive coach. She specializes in leasing, sales, marketing, customer service, and leadership. She has obtained her level one and level two Talent Smart Emotional Intelligence Trainer certification and is an emotion. And as an emotional intelligence strategist, she thrives in taking companies' teamwork and communication to inspiring new levels. So we are grateful to have you on the show because, like so many topics we've had on this show, emotional intelligence is one that so many just like, I don't want to talk about it. But you know what? We need to talk about it. It's a really, really important topic, and it's one that will never go away. But let's talk about you for a minute. It's a deep subject, emotional intelligence. What got you interested in that topic?
Well, I was just leaving the corporate side of the world, and I went to a training conference, and one of the sessions that I went to featured Daniel Goleman. And for people that do not know who Daniel Goleman is, he's basically the guy who brought emotional intelligence to the workplace back in the 90s. And he wrote a book by that title. And sitting in his session and listening to him speak, I was like, wow, this is never discussed in our industry, in our multifamily industry. Yet I was thinking about all of the volatile situations that people handle and how people get triggered and react to things. And I'm like, this is the missing link to the multifamily industry. Mm-hmm. It's also the missing link to any industry. And so I really just had my senses perked up, and I was hearing something I'd never heard before. And that took hold of me. And gradually through the years, as more information came out about it, I just became more and more interested. And I saw it as something that I could bring to our industry. And I really just delved into the subject fully and got certified as a trainer, and have an amazing appraisal system that I put people through so that they know where they stand with their EQ, their emotional quotient. That's sometimes the shortened version. It's either EQ or EI. Mm-hmm. But I was just fascinated by the topic, and I thought that so many people needed it, and I wanted to be able to help people understand themselves more fully and to really understand how they react and interact with other people. So that was what was most important for me.
That is awesome. Fantastic. So we've got a lot of new people in the industry coming out of college. Maybe it's an expression that's not often used in that environment. And even for those have been around for a while, it's good to review, like, what is it? So what's your definition of what exactly is emotional intelligence? What can you tell us?
Well, I think that there are actually the younger people are the ones that are starting to realize what emotional intelligence is, because finally some schools are starting to teach it. It's the older folks that have not been brought up with EQ. And so really bringing those two things together, the experience, the knowledge. But my definition of emotional intelligence is being able to discern what is happening within ourselves and using those layers of knowledge to manage our emotions effectively. And this is so that we can have better, more productive connections with others so that we can lead calmer and more satisfying lives.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's really the ultimate goal for me.
I love it.
I always like to say that emotional intelligence, if you take the two words apart, emotions and then intelligence. So it's fascinating to me because the word separate, you know, obviously means separate things, but then you put them together and you really have to ask yourself, how intelligent are you with your emotions? You know, how smart or savvy are you when it comes to using your emotions in the workplace or really just in life in general? But I'm so glad that you are the professor of this topic, because we're going to save some people today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm your professor anyway.
Absolutely.
I am not a professor, but my aunt was. So
yeah, very good. You know, like I was saying earlier, it's like there's so many topics that are out there, and we're grateful for all of the instructors and trainers that we have in our industry. But this is one of those ones that every book I've read on it, every article I've read on it, and hearing you speak about it in the past, it's like you always walk away with, you know, like, okay, yeah, that's stuff I need to think about, things I need to work on. So it leads to another question, Valerie, like, how can, like, my EQ, or like for our guests, their EQ or EI, what impact does it have on their on my ability to change and our ability to change? Any thoughts on that?
Well, just change in general is hard for people. And so if they're looking to grow themselves, emotional intelligence is very important. One of the foundations of it is self-awareness. Who am I? Mm-hmm. And so being able to really understand what's going on as you process things. So to change yourself, you have to know who you are first. And then the second self characteristic of emotional intelligence is self-management skills. You know, like, how am I handling this? How am I being perceived by others? It's like, how am I managing myself in this moment? That you have to know yourself very well in order to change or in to even embrace change. Mm-hmm. So being able to really discern what's going on in our body talk, in our inner monologue, as I call it, because it's like we're having a one-act play with ourselves where it's just all the time about crazy, made-up, one-sided stories. So you have to learn, you know, how to listen to that inner monologue differently sometimes. And you also have to learn to listen to your body talk so that you know if you're reacting to something or overreacting in some cases. There's some people that they get set off by something, mm-hmm. and it's something that can't be avoided just because of the way that our brains work and the way that we are as humans. But when we learn to recognize things, then we can manage ourselves more effectively.
Isn't it fascinating? I have to tell you, Valerie, this happened to me just yesterday. It's kind of neat that we're talking about this. So I got upset. I was running around trying to get things done. My car needed help. I needed help. Things had to get done. And, you know, I was frustrated. And I got to one particular location and had a little bit of, it wasn't even a confrontation, but it was, I didn't have the receipt. And then the guy behind the counter was like, I really need it. And I was like, but why? You know, and then I went away so mad because I knew the dang receipt was at home. I had to drive all the way home to get it. And on that journey to and from, I was on the phone with a friend and my friend was like, why are you so mad? Like, you're using the foulest language. And I was like, I know. And I said, and then it hit me. And I said, I don't know why I'm so mad. And then when I got off the phone and I stopped in the parking lot, I said, Mark, why are you so mad about this? Like, this has nothing to do with this man. This has nothing to do with what's happening. And I realized that it was about some frustrating things that I was reading in an email, some things about, you know, just business in general that I was feeling stressed about. And it took that self-awareness, that self-management to say, you need to pull it together before you go back into this store and stop taking this out on this man, because it had nothing to do with him. But isn't it fascinating that if you don't take that time to evaluate that self-awareness or self-management, we just go around life exploding at everyone? I mean, that is crazy.
Well, I dare say I'll take it a step further for you and say that your friend's social awareness skills, so there's a social part to this as well, observing in you and listening to you and knowing that this is not you, how you would normally mm-hmm. react, and yeah. calling that to your attention and giving you the opportunity to listen. And so that person manage your relationship management skills, that's the fourth component of emotional intelligence, and helped you to see that maybe there was something bigger going on. And that's what allowed you to reflect and then really look inside and say, what's really wrong? And so think about, like, how many people are running around frustrated by things that they're not even aware that they're frustrated by, and they're taking it out on other people.
I know. And you're so right to say that, because it was that moment where that friend said, what is wrong with you? And and then you're right. It went through kind of all the quadrants of this. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's true. This stuff works, right? You really have to be paying attention to it. I like to tell people, like, make a journal. If you aren't very familiar with self-managing your emotions, then start making a journal about the things that are upsetting you. Like, if you can remember to do that, but honestly, write them down and then reflect on that, because I think you'll find, like I did, like, that isn't how I behave. And I let those few little moments of being angry about something else ruin that particular moment of my day. But because I had that help of my friend, I was able to say, you know what? Stop it. This is ridiculous. You don't need to behave this way. So, whew, thank goodness.
Yeah, seriously. And thank goodness for that friend watching out for you. Yeah. You know, not everyone would say something. They would just like be like, oh, geez, what's his problem?
Let me act like a freak for the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. That's a perfect example of how it can play out in the real world. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have that awareness that they're having a reaction based on something else. And they can't even really tell what emotions they're experiencing at the time that it's going on. And what I've found is a lot of times it's based on something else, even that's deep within us.
Yeah.
And so it may be from the time you were 7 or 14, or,
that's right.
You know, there's stuff we got going on inside.
It's some deep stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point, Valerie. Cause like Mark is sharing, and I know Mark well enough. I've been worked with him for years now. And his friend said that, okay, hang on. You're having a bad day. Let's get it. Let's redirect it. But for others though, this is a life pattern. Like this is the normal way that they handle challenges and handle problems or handle life situations. So that leads to that word change. And like, what have you noticed? Why is it so hard for people to change? And maybe as you've kind of dove into this subject and become a subject matter expert about it, what have you dealt with? Like, has there been anything that you've noticed that you could share with the audience when it comes to dealing with change?
Well, I think there are a lot of people that are just naturally resistant to change. You'll notice if you're in a room of people and you ask, you know, who likes change? There are not a lot of hands that go up. It's maybe about 10%, yeah. Maybe, if that. So most people don't like change because our brains are actually formulated to get into familiar patterns. And even when those patterns are not serving us and are having negative outcomes, a lot of times it's what we've learned in life. And so whether it be through our parents or through mentors or bosses, we've learned to do things in a certain way and we have a certain amount of knowledge. And if we don't keep growing and learning, you know, that makes it harder to change. And so we keep reacting and doing the same things, the same things, the same things, because that's our nature as humans. Oof. And when we really learn more about ourselves, then we're able to change ourselves. We're also able to respond better to change and become more resilient. For me, you know, it's like I think for myself, dealing with change, I do consider myself fairly resilient with change. And part of that is my dad died when I was 14 and my life changed overnight and I had to adapt. So that made me probably deal with things differently and made me a more resilient person. But with some changes, I have a harder time because of that. Like for me, the hardest part is like letting go of a person or a situation that I was really attached to. So if that changes, like closure is very important to me. So it's important to, if I'm leaving a situation or if there's something going on, it's important that I have closure. Otherwise, I get spun up about it in my head and I loop thoughts and have things going on. So that's where I have the hardest part. And that's where I've focused a lot of my work is being able to let go of things more gracefully that weren't meant for me.
Ooh, that's nice. I like that. You know, thank you for sharing that story. That's very personal. And it brings me to a lot of my own thoughts about just emotional intelligence. But I like to say everyone has a story, right? That story, like you said before, it could be something that's coming up, like almost, you know, some acid from your stomach, you know, it's coming up and you can't stop it. It's this emotion that hasn't been dealt with or that we didn't even know was there. And those are what those triggers, you know, like you might say something that would trigger that emotion from my childhood that I would react either badly or you know, maybe nice, I react nice to it. But typically I think our triggers make us act badly. But that is fascinating to think about. How can you kind of go back through your own story to decide where is some of this stuff coming from? What kind of advice would you give to someone about, you know, look, you have this story that lives inside of you. You have to figure out what it is. Maybe is it just going back through your past and deciding where the, you know, good, the bad, the ugly live?
Well, I think you were spot on, Mark. And I don't know, is my connection okay at this moment?
It is.
Okay.
It's good.
Okay. So I look like I was a little unstable. So I think it goes back to what you were saying about a journal. So I actually have my coaching clients keep a journal so that they notice like when they're having a reaction, what's going on in their body, you know, what their thoughts are. And then they can start to notice patterns. And it's those patterns that allow people to identify and sometimes trace back. Okay, we've got this happening multiple times. You know, what in your past does this remind you of? And being able to kind of look at what those patterns are showing you, that can sometimes be a roadmap into figuring out that past trauma. Or it's really, you know, asking about those things, whether it's a professional asking or as a coach, sometimes we'll ask about that. I let people know sometimes it feels a little bit like therapy, but we're really trying to get to the heart of an issue.
Yeah, for sure. I love it. And look, I know we need to move on, but I think what you do is so valuable and teaching other people how to understand, like, I try to imagine if I were the guy behind the counter dealing with me, like, what is it? Why is this guy such a freak today? You know, and I'm imagining, like, understand everyone has a story. This has nothing personally to do with you. Like, I try to put myself when I'm calm in the other person's shoes. Like, how can we help other people understand that what you see happening? And look, I'm the world's worst. I love it when people explode in public. I think it is the funniest thing watching people go crazy in public. But I do stop and I watch it and I think, I wonder what is going on in their world that is making them behave this way. Like, what has triggered them to act so insanely? But it's so fascinating to me. How can we teach other people to see that and then be able to calmly sort of address it, especially if that person is, you know, the person that you're in the conversation with? But yeah.
Yeah,
I think anyone who's in a customer service role has to always be mindful. What's that quote? Like, everyone's fighting a tough battle.
Yes.
You know, we have to be mindful of that. There are things going on in people's lives that we have no idea about. I was thinking for your story, Mark, that you were probably mad at yourself because you forgot the dang receipt. But I was thinking that was it, without knowing all of the email stuff that you dealt with and, right. And what was really happening. So, you know, it's probably a combo platter of both. It's like, what if I get
that? Yeah, totally.
So that kind of leads us into like another segment, Valerie. So wonderful insights on a personal level and what we individually can do. So now we transition over to leadership. We transition over to how do we apply this in a property management environment, in a company culture environment? You know, what are your thoughts when, what do leaders need to think about as they are making changes? And there's changes, that's life, right? There's always change. So what are your thoughts along that line of working with your team and dealing with a change environment?
Well, I think this past year is a great example of our teams have had to absorb so much change.
Yeah.
And that's traumatic. I want everyone to realize that so much change and so much stress and pressure that they've been under, it's trauma. And a lot of people don't realize that their teams may be struggling. And we're talking a lot about mental health more these days. Oprah has a show on Apple TV that's about mental health. She's combining with Prince Harry to talk about it. And I've been watching some fascinating episodes, but people are struggling. And one of the things that I teach in my change management is that any change involves grief. Because when we get something new, when we have something new that we're gaining, we also are losing something old. So think about me. I need closure, right? Mm-hmm. So I need to know why we're changing, I being the universal we. I need to know why we're changing, what's better about this change, you know, why it's important to me, and being able to have the opportunity to let go of the old. So that means having some preparation time, hopefully. We couldn't do that with a lot of 2020. No. But in a change initiative that a leader is instituting, we are able to have a schedule and a timeline. So prepare people for change and inform them and communicate. The best thing is communication and over-communicate. You really want to put the message out there in many different ways. You guys both know, because we're all in the training world, that everybody learns in different ways. And so some people need to hear about it. Some people need to see it. Some people need to dive in and be on a committee and be part of it. And then they'll evangelize it for us. So all of those things need to happen. We've seen it with the vaccine. There has been over communication in multiple formats about the vaccine. And this is to be able to reach more people. Mm-hmm. You know, because if we just put out news articles about it, not everyone reads news articles.
Right.
If we put out commercials about it, well, some people fast forward through those. Some people don't watch commercials. You know, it's you have different interviews that are on social media. Oh, maybe somebody's on social media. We can capture them that way. And so it's really about informing your team why there's a change that's necessary and how they benefit. Like, who are the stakeholders involved? How will they benefit from the change? Mm-hmm. And then trying to get them on board by, you know, letting them know a timeline, what's to be expected. You also have to celebrate little victories along the way. So as you are having successes with your change, then get people on board with those, have little celebrations along the way so that they feel like they are making progress. Yeah. Those are some tips.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what does that look like in order to, like, you've talked about a lot of these steps to get people ready. So is that company culture? Is that where would you equate that expression to that overall environment? How does that contribute to their willingness? So they're like, okay, oh yeah, sure. Or like, how much does that have an influence on it?
Well, there are different types of people, as we talked about with change. There are some that are more resistant. There are some that are more resilient. And it does matter who's at the top of a change initiative. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a resistant person at the top of a change initiative, and they're the ones that are supposed to be responsible for getting something out, but they're like, yeah, well, we did it this old way, and we can keep doing this one part this old way, but then use it for all the other stuff. And then so that destroys a change initiative, because you have someone who's resisting what's happening, and then it's not rolling down the hill and everybody is not going to embrace it. They'll keep doing that one little thing the old way, and they won't fully come over to the new way that things need to be done. So that might be a culture where the old way works just fine. Why are we changing it? Mm-hmm. You know, so what is the culture? It's like, well, we've always done it this way. Right. That's the culture.
Yeah.
And so if you have a culture that's always done it that way, they are more resistant. Mm-hmm. And so you may have a lot more work to do to get people to embrace change in that scenario. And, you know, with all of the changes, I was reading an article last night with all of the changes that we've had during this past year. So Microsoft had done some research. And they said that 30,000 people in 31 countries, they said leaders are out of touch with employees and need a wake-up call.
Wow.
So that's going on, because the key question that relationship-centered leaders will be asking, in the face of this change, what do our people need in order to continue creating value? So as we have these changes, how do we support our teams in those changes too? Yeah. So are we giving them support? Who is the leader in charge? Are they a visionary who also gives instruction on how to carry out? Or are they saying, this is our grand idea, now go do it, with no steps on how to do it? And then people are just confused.
Yeah.
So they may be a great visionary. They may have wonderful ideas. But unless you also, you know, have the steps on how to accomplish that, there's something missing. Mm-hmm. And there was also the need for flexibility has come up a lot. And I know we don't have as much opportunity in that in the multifamily industry, but because we've had this scenario the past year where people have had flexible work, they've been working from home, they've been helping to care for their children. This particular survey found that 64% of employees would rather have flexible work than a $30,000 increase in salary.
Wow.
That's like, they would rather have flexibility than a $30,000 increase in salary. So I thought that was pretty huge. But what we need to keep in mind is that emotionally, people are struggling and managers aren't necessarily facing this reality. In the Microsoft survey, it found that 60% of frontline workers, especially those under 30, are in survival mode. People are struggling. There has been too much change this past year. Mm-hmm. So now as leaders, if we're thinking about adding change initiatives to the frontline workers who have already been in a little bit of a PTSD mode, it might be too much for them.
Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you for bringing those stats. Mark, you had a comment on it?
And I was just going to say, as you were talking, I was thinking, what's the old saying that people say there's only two certainties in life? What is it? Death and taxes. I think there's three. I think death, taxes, and change. Like your life will change. Yeah. Every day there's a change waiting for you around the corner. And, you know, Valerie, you sharing that personal story about your past reminds me, like, I had learned to embrace change many years ago, because I do believe in what I say, life will change you for good, for bad, painful, or great things. There is a reason that stuff happens to us. It changes us, and that's never going to stop, right? And if we don't learn how to embrace and kind of move forward with it, even as companies or individuals, then I'm afraid we're going to get left behind, right? Because these younger generations, they want a different world. They will demand we live in a different world than what maybe all of us were accustomed to. So change can be very scary for a lot of people, but I look at change as a new adventure. When something good or bad happens, I just say, you know what? It's a new adventure. We'll see what this change brings into my life. But yeah, you're absolutely dead on right. It's never going to stop.
Well, and you've created a great inner monologue. Like, you've given yourself a positive message about it. And that's really part of the key. I always try to look for any lesson that I can get out of a change or any gift I can get out of a change. So I'm always looking for either a lesson or a gift.
Love it.
Because I think both come with change all the time. We just have to look for that.
That's right. I love it.
I like, that is so cool. A gift out of change. Yeah, that'll stick. See, there you go, Valerie. That'll be my pondering.
Walk away with.
What a compelling conversation. This is fantastic. Thank you for bringing those stats in. So any resources you can share? A lot of our listeners would like, what should they do next? What's their call to action coming away from today's show?
So Harvard Business Review is always great for like change management or emotional intelligence support articles. There's a great book, called Managing Transitions, Making the Most of Change. So for any companies that are planning some big changes, that's a great book and goes into kind of the grief and dealing with, the different types of people with regard to change, the grief components, as well as some things to try to do with each change initiative.
Tell me the title again.
So the title is Managing Transitions, it's by a couple, William Bridges, Susan Bridges.
Okay, perfect. Love it.
Awesome. Thank you for those resources. And so we asked this of all of our guests, what is your go-to tip, go-to thought, mantra? Do you have anything along that line?
Well, I have trademarked a phrase in particular with regard to emotional intelligence, and it's called it's a pause. Because for me, that is the space where emotional intelligence happens, is when you pause and you're taking in more information, you're asking a question, you are managing your reactions. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, Mark, that is not always a fun topic for me to talk about. After we finished talking about it, do you know what I was doing?
What?
I was pausing to deep breathe so that I could set off my parasympathetic nervous system and calm anything that might've been coming up for me in that moment.
Yeah,
so for pause, sure. To breathe is a one that I practice all the time, but it's in the pause. In any act of emotional intelligence for me is in the pause.
I love that. That's so great.
Perfect. Thank you for that. We'll make sure we get that highlighted in the show notes, as along with all those resources that you mentioned.
That hopefully you got.
Yeah, no, we got it. It's good. It's all good. Yeah, internet can be finicky from time to time. It's the challenges of the virtual world, but we roll with it. No big deal.
Right.
So thank you, my friend. We are so honored and blessed to have you with us today. How can people connect with you? Give us your website. Tell us a little bit more about your business. What's the lowdown?
So, gosh, I'm doing a lot of one-day level one emotional intelligence trainings, both within and outside the multifamily industry. Okay. So I've got a company that's a nonprofit that I'm probably going to do some work for with regard to a webinar and level one training. And then, believe it or not, a health department. We're looking into some emotional intelligence training. Cool. So you can find me probably most easily at my website, ValerieMSargent.com. And so you can see the way my name is spelled on the screen. So it's Valerie M as in marvelous, or Michelle, my middle name, Sargent.com. And our company website for Yvette Poole and Associates is Ypoole, P-O-O-L-E, and ASSOC.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Valerie M. Sargent. So those are probably the easiest ways. My email address is Valerie@ValerieMSargent.com.
Beautiful. We'll definitely have all those in the show notes. And for those who are listening on the podcast, you'll find those links in the notes as well. They'll be on the YouTube notes. So all good. Thank you for sharing that with us. And yeah, definitely double thumbs up endorsement. I've listened to your training before, and always very, very compelling, amazing topic. So thank you so much for being on the show today. Mark Howell, how can people connect with you, my friend?
Absolutely. So my company name is Howell Creative Concepts. Howell is spelled a little different, like Howell at the moon. Howell. So it's H-O-W-L creativeconcepts.com. But you can email me at mark@howlcreativeconcepts.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Facebook, all that good stuff. So yes, please reach out. And again, if anybody is listening and has an idea for a topic, let us know. We are always looking for wonderful people like our dear friend Valerie here that want to share and are willing to share some great advice, some great tips about a topic that you're passionate about. Again, remember, find your passion. Valerie, you have definitely found your passion with this topic. I have thoroughly enjoyed our conversation today.
Me too. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's great to be with you today.
Yes. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you so much. This has been episode 32. My name is Jonathan Saar, the co-founder of Juvo Hub, and we are thankful for you as our guest, Valerie. We're thankful to our audience, our listeners. Please give us a review. Please connect with us on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. We look forward to seeing you on our next show. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.